The Old Testament for the resurrection of our Lord is from Isaiah chapter 25. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It is said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord, we have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Then he was buried. Then he was raised on the third day in accordance to the Scriptures. And he appeared, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one point, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it is I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 16th chapter. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb, and they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was our gospel lesson. So the Easter story, is it the greatest news ever given, or is it the best kept secret? I would suggest it is God's way that the resurrection gives life to a situation where we normally only see death. When God gives us new life, we are called to share that good news with others. Jews on their way to Jerusalem for the Passover would recite Psalm 118. And the psalm begins with remembering how God had delivered them from Egypt. But verse 17 is a key verse to the Easter story. "I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord." The psalm reminds us that we are to tell others the good news of Jesus. In the gospel lesson, the women went to the tomb to prepare the body. Basically, they were assuming that Nicodemus and the other guy did a man's job. In other words, they hurried it up and did just a half-act job of it. So the women went to do it correctly the next day. And they were wondering who was going to roll away the great stone in front. Well, to quote the great American philosopher Gomer Pyle, surprise, surprise, the stone had been moved. And there was a man sitting on the stone saying, Jesus is alive, he is not here. Jesus had told the disciples and the women many times that he had to go to Jerusalem to die, and then 3 days he would rise again, but they seemed to have forgotten that. Now, the women were initially afraid, but they would go and tell the other 11 disciples about Jesus' resurrection. So how did you come to believe that Jesus had been raised from the dead? Was it from parents, grandparents, relatives, a friend, a pastor, a teacher? Who was it that shared the good news with you that Jesus was alive? I know I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for my father and grandparents who shared the good news with us growing up. Easter calls us to share the good news that Jesus Christ is alive. On Easter, a Reverend Dr. William Sangster, a preacher in Great Britain, was leading a major renewal of the church there, and he got a disease which progressively paralyzed his body, even his vocal cords. So the last Easter Sunday that he spent on the earth, only able to move his hands, he wrote these words, "How terrible to wake up on Easter and have no voice to shout, 'He is risen.' Far worse to have a voice and not want to shout." Those who do not share the good news of Jesus' resurrection are not a hopeless case. God just isn't finished with them. Some of the most persuasive people sharing the good news have been the greatest skeptics beforehand. Once they believed, they had to proclaim the message to everyone. Luke in his gospel says that the women were initially skeptical of what the man sitting in the tomb had to say. But later they came to believe that the message was true and they shared it with everyone. I want to share a story by a doctor, Will Phillips of San Antonio. He wrote about one of his patients, Edith Burns. She was a widow woman who deeply loved the Lord. And she would sit down with people, random strangers, and say, "Hello, my name is Edith Burns. What do you believe about Easter?" And if the person would start talking about eggs and bunnies and things like that, she would say, "No, let me tell you the truth about the Easter story, what the real meaning was." Countless people were led to Christ through her works, including Dr. Phillips' head nurse. Dr. Phillips called Edith into his office one day, and he had a look of great distress on his face. And he goes, "Edith, I've got some bad news for you. The test came back, and you have a very progressive form of cancer, and you may not have long to live." She says, "Why, Dr. Phillips, are you so distressed?" She says, "Think about this. Soon, I get to see my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, face to face. I get to see my husband, I get to see my parents, and many old friends." After several months of chemotherapy, it was evident that Edith was losing the battle with cancer. She went to the hospital, and everybody was attracted by her warmth and positive faith. And if she got half a chance, she would introduce herself as, "Hello, I'm Edith Burns. Do you believe in Easter?" She asked so many people that the people in the hospital gave her a nickname. They called her Easter Edith. But there was one person not attracted to Edith, and that was Philip Cross. She was a mean, ornery nurse who had spent 20 years in the Army and was as jaded as you could possibly be. She told her supervisor, "I don't want anything to do with that religious nut, Edith Burns." But one day, Phyllis had to go to Edith's room to draw some blood. And Edith says, "Phyllis, God loves you, and I love you too, and I've been praying for you." Phyllis says, "Well, you can stop praying for me. It won't work, and I'm not interested." Edith said, "I can't stop praying for you, and I've asked God not to let me go home until you are part of his family." Then Phyllis replied, "Then you'll never die, Edith, because it'll never happen." Then she walked out. Edith and Phyllis saw each other quite often over the next few weeks. But never did Edith ask the question, "What do you believe about Easter?" Finally, Phyllis's curiosity got the best of her. She said, "Edith, why have you never asked me if I believe in Easter?" Edith smiled and replied, "I asked God to cause you to ask me about the Easter question, and you just did." Phyllis was caught off guard. Her defenses dropped, and the Holy Spirit was able to work faith in this once jaded veteran nurse. The tough old army nurse now believed in her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A few days later, Phyllis walked into Edith's room and says, "It's Good Friday." And Edith replied, "No, it's Easter. Every day is Easter for a Christian." 2 days later, on Easter Sunday, Phyllis went into Edith's room and noticed she had passed away. She put her hands on Edith and said, "Happy Easter, dear." She helped Edith's family make the funeral arrangements. Then she sat down in the break room to have a coffee. And a young student nurse came in, and she says, "Hello, I'm Phyllis Cross. What do you believe in Easter?" "So on this Easter day, I say to you, Christ is risen." And you reply, "Risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen." May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen. And we rise and confess our faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed.